American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting you from the Internet for Monday, November the 30th, 2009. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all of these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to Sean, S-E-A-N, underscore Kennedy, livejournal.com. This is a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, RedMercury.se, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, PodcastAlley.com, Podcast Alley. Wait, that's completely wrong. Podcast.com. Shut the fuck up, co-host. You wait until you're introduced like a good dog. Okay, Podcast.com. Podcast Alley, Second Life Node Archers, grids 155-74666. And with us tonight here on the Thanksgiving special, without lives like the rest of us, is Sophia Numinox, RU486 Loner, Plunk Dragon Knightley, Mr. Well, that's me, Fat Ninja Wirefly, DJ Dally Steampunk, Don Durbin, Damakin Ironman, Sumerian, my beautiful talent co-host, Arthur Zurix, and Aeol Naximus is also here. And now, of course, as reintroduced, my beautiful and talented co-host, who's not, in fact, a dog, or in any other type of furry, Sumerian.
Hello, Sean. How are you doing tonight?
He is a vegan, though. I should bring that up.
Yeah.
But before the show started, we were missing... Oh, there it is, Brondo. Thank you. And the maroon is, like, the worst background color
ever. You like that
ever.
Color?
Yeah,
like
that's terrible. Yeah. That's really bad. Like, green would have been better or something. My God. It's like, wow, there's a bar. Wait, there's something written on it. Speaking of which, I watched that god-awful movie. Well, it wasn't that bad, but I watched Angels and Demons.
Which?
Angels and Demons.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that one.
Yeah. Well, it's not bad. Big cast. Ewan McGregor's in it. Plays a great priest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they it's a little bit... simple, you know, if I was a teenager and I didn't really read all the books I've already read, I'd probably think it was pretty cool.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it kind of has like a National Treasure kind of feel to it, you know, with Nick Cage.
Okay.
So if you, that's a good comparison to make, actually. They tried to do that with it, which I liked it better than I liked the first one, which isn't saying much because I thought I thought the first one was kind of like a big steaming pile of crap. But no, I really did. I didn't like the first one. So, I mean, I would watch the second one without any memory of the first one. And the second one stands alone. You know, it's a movie. It would pair well with like, Sahara, would be a good pairing with that movie. Which
well,
I watched
when,
again
when
the
I
other
watch,
day as well, which is great.
When I watch religious movies, if it's based too much in reality, it just doesn't ring true with me because I know it's all crap. Like, if they make it a bit more crazy and a bit more out there, it's like, oh, okay, I can suspend disbelief now.
Right. Yeah, so it's like Star Wars, no problem. But, like, when you
exactly.
watch, like, Hackers, you're like, oh, come the fuck on. You know, like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
You
it's
know?
Like, if you're going to be accurate, be really accurate.
Yeah, you got to, like...
Be War Games or be Sneakers. That's fine. Those are good movies because...
They're fairly accurate.
Complete,
I mean, they took a
99%
little,
good.
Yeah, you know, they took a little bit of liberties, and they did the CSI thing where everything works all the time. But, you know, which is like, in the real reality, you know, it's pretty scary. But, I mean, there's some good flicks coming out. I still haven't watched Love at a 45. Still haven't watched that.
Okay.
That's still sitting on the shelf. So that one you got to be in the right kind of mood for, because that's a pretty, that's like a springtime, like, it'll make me really want a convertible. Right, so I have to be...
this is not the time for that.
No.
It's a little bit wet and dark in Vancouver
this
time of
year. Well, I'll tell you, it's the time to buy one, though. You know, if you're going to buy a convertible car, every WOG, you know, if there was like a WOG Hajj, you know, the thing that the Muslims do where they all like go check out the rock and they all get together and they just, you know, fuck off to go check out this rock. Anyway, they show up and they don't get to see it either, which is really crappy. They travel all that way and they don't get to see the rock. And I think that's bullshit. Well,
Is the rock inside the building? Inside
you can't see the fucking rock. You've walked halfway around the world. What? Yeah.
What a ripoff.
Well, it's a total ripoff. It is a ball sack ripoff because it's like, dude, let them see the fucking rock. I mean, they're all batshit crazy anyway, right? They've all just, you know, they're believing some crazy shit. But let them see the fucking rock.
Just
I mean,
form
Jesus
a line.
Christ.
Let
these
them pass
dudes,
through.
They're not going to hurt the rock. What the fuck are you afraid of? These people worship the rock. They're not going to hurt it. What do you need the big fucking house on there for? Just get rid of it. Don't bother. Get it gone, man. Let the people touch the rock. You know, I'm pretty sure. No, seriously, though. I'm pretty sure God, Allah, you know, the great Vishnu, whatever, would be cool with at least letting the poor, sandaled, white-robed, head-covered bastard just touch the rock. Okay? I mean, they got all these women
just
kissing the rocks and stuff.
Just rub it or, you know, yeah, exactly.
Just let them touch the rock. What are you afraid? They're going to break the rock? You know, I mean, come on, it's a giant rock. I mean, how much damage can people worshiping a rock really do to it? It's not like there's going to be vandalism. No one's going to try to break a piece of the rock off. Are you kidding? They'll murder them. They'll rip them to shreds.
Oh, in 2 seconds, like, you're surrounded by these fanatical people.
Well, you
they're
can't draw a cartoon of their god
rock.
Without them trying to kill you. So, you know, these dudes at that point, they're in pon far at that point, man. They've got the whole Vulcan, you know, brain chemical mind thing on the go with the rock. And so, you know, I think they, anyway, the bottom line here is I think it's bullshit that they don't actually let the Muslims on the Hajj see the fucking rock. That's bunk. Also, that said, the Catholics better pray that I don't get my shit together and start up a private military corporation. Because right after I, you know, dominate most of Africa and, like, just sort that whole country out, because really, I'd go through there and they'd call me a war criminal and shit, but, like,
Sean, the new king of Africa.
Well, no,
right?
The killing would stop. The killing has to stop. That's it. Killing is, like, there might be some more killing for a very short period of time, but after that, no killing at all. Yeah, the killing stops, the guns are removed, you know, everybody's not, like, I've written off Africa. Like, they're never, ever going to sort the place out. I really don't think they are. It's nuts down there. And I'm just like, well, you know, maybe there's regions, you know, where they could sort that out. But anyway, we're totally off topic. But they better pray. They better pray that after my private military corporation takes over down there, that I don't turn my eyes towards the Vatican. Because let me tell you, boy, you know, I would...
There's a lot of pillaging to be had there, right?
Dude, there's no pillaging. It's not theirs, right? Nothing.
It's true.
Nothing. This is the funny part, right? Like, if Egypt went to Britain, okay, broke into the Smithsonian and stole all their Egyptian shit back, okay?
Not much left.
Well, yeah, but I've often thought about that. Like, if I was going to, you know, whatever, you know, my wife dies, I go become a ninja and spend 30 years in a monastery or something like that, and all of a sudden I'm going to do some crazy adventurous thing, I think that what I would do is I would steal, like, some major piece of Egyptian heritage. You know, from the Royal Museum, like I don't know, my Egyptology is really, 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 you know, a bad scene. I don't know any of it, which is embarrassing. I should, you know, doing the horror thing, but I've just never, Egyptology was never my deal. So I'd rip off something that'd be like, you know, the Holy Grail of what the Egyptians want back, and like bring it to them.
Yep.
You know, and you just claim asylum, and you'd be a big hero in the streets and everything for, you know, for what? For what crime? For ripping off something that was theirs? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's their junk. I mean, it's gold junk, but it's their litter. I mean, they left it lying around, you know, so, and yeah, the British picked it up and you know, sort of
took off with it. Yeah.
Yeah, and totally, you know, ripped off their culture.
Now it's in a museum, and they can't have it back. Ha ha ha.
For the world to see, but they'll see it in England. Because that makes sense, you know. Anyway, I digress. Now we got a lot of feedback. Incidentally,
it's probably
though,
that rock, that translation rock, the one I use as my mouse pad. That's probably one of the most.
Oh, the Rosetta Stone. Yeah,
Rosetta Stone that translates the hieroglyphs, right?
Well, that's the big one. Yeah, they found that, and after that, it was all about the curse. Which, you know, that's now there's a piece of kit that I would like to rip off. You know, if you're a hardcore atheist, to prove you're an atheist, Go steal the Hope Diamond. Yeah.
Hope Diamond.
The okay. Hope Diamond curse, man. It would string you up. Last dude, who right now doesn't belong to me. It belongs to an institution, right? It belongs to the museum, so no one person owns it. But a guy broke in to steal it. Okay, dude breaks in to steal it, gets a hold of the diamond, so it's in his possession as a thief. It's his. And his ropes screw up, and he winds up hanging himself. They find him there the next day, hung. I'm like, dude, that's some hardcore Cthulian artifacts there. Yeah, true story. Check that out.
Yeah, I'm reading it right now. That's crazy.
I know. So, like, if you're all like, you want to go, hey, okay, Richard Dawkins, you're like the awesome guy? You want to take ownership of the Hope Diamond for 6 months? Just yours. Just hang on to it. Okay, we'll be by to pick it up when you're dead. All right, but since there's nothing, right, you're not worried about it, right? It's just a rock, right? There's no supernatural forces. It's just a big diamond. That's all it is. So we'll give you a giant diamond. I mean, why the hell wouldn't you want a giant diamond? Come on.
It's a nice diamond.
Mm. And then when, you know, Richard Dawkins takes a hold of the diamond, runs outside, and a pack of hyenas that escape from the zoo tear him apart in the middle of the British street, all the atheists would go, wow, that's really extraordinary, you know. But that's not supernatural. You see, the hyenas escaped from the local zoo. There's nothing supernatural happening there, you know. Cue omen music. Because, you know, we were talking about this before, about the whole militant atheists thing. I don't have a problem with atheists.
Yes.
I have a problem with militant atheists. I have a problem with militant anybody, really, who's pushing their shit.
Well, they're not pushing their
They're correcting
the lies and the deceit that is going on in this world.
Come on, they're pushing their shit. They're totally, take down that nativity. You're pushing your shit. Maybe your shit is good shit. Maybe your shit's the truth. Okay, but the other guy believes his shit's the truth, too. The truth is, your shit probably is the truth. Right, but that doesn't give you, you know...
Well, it's backed up by logic and research.
Yes.
Rather than a book written by some sheep herders 2,000 years
ago. Right. Okay, but the point is, you know, they disagree. Okay? Now, I'm the king of, like...
They could disagree all they want. It's not about opinion. It's about what's true.
That's right, and we've got soldiers. And we know what we are doing. My only regret is we did not start sooner. Yeah, well, you know, it's difficult, though, because you're dealing with minds, right? And some of these brains...
Yes.
No, seriously, these computers that are people have been wired in such a way that it's going to be a total blue screen if you yank the rug out from underneath the whole God thing. You know, I mean, they're
fucked. If you're brought up from a kid being told the same thing over and over again, you're going to believe it from all the authority sources that you're getting, your teachers.
Well, what about the mother
parents?
Who's had three of her sons blow up themselves and become martyrs for the cause in the name of God? You know, if she believes the truth, she's murdered her children for nothing. Which, that's kind of a hard pill to swallow, you know?
Well, then it maybe should stop. Well, that's just going to perpetrate it further and further throughout the years if they don't put a stop to it at some
point.
Without
breaking a few eggs. I totally agree with you, okay? Absolutely. It's got to start. It's got to stop somewhere. I just want to keep the casualty count low, okay? I'm all for getting these people on board, okay? But recently, as I've grown slightly older... I've sort of looked at a lot of this shit that's going on. And, you know, I'm all about, you know, Jack Bauer and some of his techniques, you know. I think that Jack Bauer gets shit done. So sometimes, yeah, you need that. You need those kinds of people to do those kinds of things. Is torture a good idea? Sometimes it's all you've got. I think chemical interrogation makes way more sense.
Yeah, you beat somebody till they tell you whatever they want. That's not going to give you any information, right?
Well, that's a very simple approach to interrogation. But yeah, bottom line here is that the techniques, I am not against interrogation. Okay, I am not against interrogation. The truth has to be known. You have to find out the truth. That's what interrogation is all about.
Yes.
You know, so it does it fuck up people? Yes, it does. Interrogation breaks your brain. That's what interrogation is all about. So... and everybody breaks. Like, everybody cracks. There is no going to avoid it. All right, you can put it off. All right, but everybody cracks, right? So it's one of those kind of things that you know, I agree with it. I think it's possible. And unfortunately, you know, if there is a nuke counting down and there's a dude there who knows the combination and you've got another friend waiting for numbers for him to kick in, you know, it's why are you still messing with the Brando logo? Like, what are you doing there? You know, anyway, I'm just saying
why
that
not?
If I'm going to, you know, use my Bic lighter here and I'm going to make sure that Buddy on the ground is telling me some numbers. I'll tell you that because we're going to start punching codes in right now or something. And if we all die in the big explosion, then this guy will suffer more than anyone else does. So, you know, and maybe that's barbaric.
Yes.
Maybe that's barbaric. I'll tell you what's more barbaric is when you take the kind of men who become U.S. Navy SEALs and then you give them a mission to capture a mastermind and Al-Qaeda terrorist who is responsible for the death of one of their own in one of the most violent incidences in recent American history. And then when they're coming back in and they punch the guy a few times, maybe when he was handcuffed, you know, gave him a little shot. Maybe, you know, they couldn't really just pass this guy off. And maybe they really thought about sticking a knife in his rib cage and, like, opening him up and doing really ungodly shit to him while he had him there. But they handed him over alive with a couple of smacks on him to the authorities. But now they're being charged with assault on this prisoner of war. Now, at this point...
Right.
Yeah, at this point, you have to realize that your system is broken. Okay, there's something wrong there when your system is being used by your enemy, be them justified or not. But when your system is being used by your enemy against you, your system is broken. Okay, so that's what's going on there. And that event...
So you think that whatever they unleash upon the prisoners is justified?
I trust the SEALs.
As long as they don't kill them.
I trust the SEALs.
Or even if they do kill them, they could do whatever they want.
Look, man, it's like this. You give them a mission, and SEALs are all about the snap and grab of live prisoners, by the way. That's their specialty. All right.
So this guy is already proven guilty. He's fine, and everybody.
Oh, he's admittedly
for sure
he's a,
know
he's a
that
wanted,
he's guilty.
Yeah, he's a wanted dude. He's one of these.
But he hasn't gone through a justice system or anything.
No.
He's tried
just,
in court.
Yeah, he's one of these. He's an enemy combatant. I mean, he's probably a decent guy to be. If you get past the fact that he wants to, you know, totally destroy Western culture, but I'm sure to other.
They could have the wrong guy then. It's quite possible because he hasn't gone
sure,
through
I'll
trial.
Give you that.
He hasn't gone through court.
I'll give you that. There's definitely a possibility it's the wrong guy. Sure.
Yeah. So
sure.
So this is fine the other way around. Say somebody comes into our country and takes us and, you know, beats us.
No. You're missing.
Go,
you're missing a step. You're missing a step. The difference there is that you have to trust your people. The difference there is that you have to trust your people. If Russia wants to send guys in to snap grab me, okay, it's really my responsibility or my country's, my nation's responsibility to protect me. That's why we have governments and nations and things like that. Now, I'm not going to turn this into a giant political spectrum. I'm going to bring this a little bit back now more sharply into focus. These men, these U.S. Navy SEALs, who've dedicated their entire lives up until this point to completing the mission, okay, if you're going to tell them to go out and grab somebody and bring them back, and you're giving them the intel, so you are certain that who you're getting is the right people, you have to trust these people. The problem arises, I think that, yeah, they should be monitored. Absolutely. That new system they got coming out with the tasers and the cameras on the cops so that you see everything the cop does and you can see everything that the perp does to the cop and all that shit. I think it's great. I think it's awesome. The truth will set you free. But when you're dealing with a tactical environment and you've got a situation like this and you're in and you're at war, yeah, I don't think you should be charging your Blackhawks spec ops teams with bullshit charges like that. That's fucking nuts. I mean, these people are, if they're not fucking James Bond, I don't know who is. Honest to God. You take those five guys that are on that mission, and they could fucking do just about anything. All right? That's like millions of dollars invested into those people. That's like second guessing a jet. Like, what are you doing? You know? And furthermore, Even if we are the bad guys, even if the SEALs really were the bad guys, you cannot deny that if your system can be used against you, it is broken. It is hackable. Okay, they've hacked the system and they're using it to slow down their own government. Like that's nuts. You know, I feel that's my way. But I understand where you're coming from, where you say that, well, yes, this could be the bad guy, and it's wrong of us to go in their country and grab their people, blah, 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 blah. But that's a different argument, okay, that's where you and I differ, where I sort of am a little bit, shall we say, more to the right of you, I think.
Or, so there are no war crimes, then?
A war crime is a ridiculous idea. It is a retarded notion. A war crime is something that was invented after World War II, because the world felt so fucking horrible for what happened. Okay, so in order to kind of save the collective psyche, they came up with this piece of they published a book called the Geneva Convention, and you know, they handed it off to the UN, and everybody's supposedly going to follow this, and it's the most delusional document ever composed.
It is delusional because it only applies to the loser.
Well, and you know what? For what? I mean, war is a question of will. Okay, that's what it is. You can't put limitation and rules on war. Is horrible. And the minute you start making rules and laws in war, somehow it becomes acceptable. Somehow it becomes okay. Like, that's, yeah, well, it was, they followed the rules. No! No, 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 no. War must be avoided at all costs. You must not go to war because war is fucking bad. War is really horrible. We've been at war for a long time. There's war all over the planet, but war is bad. Okay, World War II,
definitely.
You know, it's fucking horrible. That's why you have special operations teams. So rather than having 500-600 soldiers lining up and slaughtering each other, you have small teams that move in and do very limited capacity damage. You do surgical hits. This is, we have to kind of, you know, look at the violent nature of man and try to figure out a way around it. But that is war. Okay, that's what war is. Maybe the pharma fascists have one idea. They're going to medicate it out of us, okay? And maybe the religious guys think they're all going to get us to bow to the rock, and once we're all bowing towards the same rock, we're not going to kill each other. All right? But this is, that's what's really going on there. So, I don't come to me with the fucking Geneva Convention, okay, when you've got, when you're involved with a war. I mean, a war is about getting the job done, and yeah, people die, and that's what's shitty. Now, that said, I also think that I would be the first guy to get everybody the fuck out of them. Get out of there. Get everybody comes home right now. Iraq, Afghan, everybody, get the fuck back. All right, everything's broken. We're sucking back to our borders. Well, Iraq's gonna fall apart. Well, you know what? There's a lot of people. You know, fuck it, gone. Okay, sorry, we fucked up. You know, and our country's broken, and now we suck. So we can be the Germans for the next, you know, 15, 20 years, whatever. All right, you can hate us because we suck. But, you know, honest to God, we got to fix our shit. Otherwise, the whole world's, you know, we're going to get owned. All right, and that's not like a suggestion that I think is a good idea. That's what has to happen. Otherwise, there's no sustainable way that we can continue that I can see. I mean, they got a lot of monkeys working around the clock on this particular problem. But yeah, I don't know. I think that eventually, unless Iraq winds up owning us or something like that, us being the collective North America, I mean, we're the most delusional people in the world. You know, it's kind of frightening to me. But anyway, I'm on a bit of a tirade there about the whole war situation. I disagree wholeheartedly with a lot of things that go on, but I admire swords nonetheless. I don't like the way the arm's wielding the sword right now, and much like Africa, I think that people should go down there and take some toys away. Especially from the politicians. You know, if there was like a military coup in the United States, I don't think I'd feel really bad about that. You know, like if a bunch of generals went, yeah, no. Yeah, we're sucking everybody back. Yeah, that's what's happening. And then we're going to hand it over to, you know, we're having an election right now. You know, if they did that with Bush and a bunch of guys said, yeah, we're going to hand over power to who's ever elected, begin the competition now. And then the army just didn't do shit.
That would be interesting.
Wouldn't that be some shit? You know what I mean? Like, hey, the Marine Corps is older than the United States. You know, I mean, that's, and some of those guys got some, like, crazy cult mindset on the go. But anyway, I digress. I digress. Let's get into some feedback. Dear Sean, my life is the shits! Every day I feel more and more like my life is heading nowhere. And now I finally decided to pull the trigger on the backup plan that I've had since I was 18. I've decided to enter the armed forces here in the States. I have a conundrum, though. What branch should I choose? I am stuck between the Army and the Navy. What do you think? I was hoping you might have some insight into the two branches and what would be the better idea. I really have to thank you and Sim for all the years of hard work. You both do a great job. I've been appreciating it for a long time, but I continually to digitally suck your cock for many years to come as your egos grow larger and larger and your attention spans grow shorter. I actually changed that to suck up because that was what it originally said. Yes. I'm not joking.
Really?
Yeah, I swear to God. I swear to God. Best witches, Zaphod, Bibli Box. And I've edited this. So here it is. Here's the big question, which is a lot more complicated than it would appear. But I'm going to give you the short answer first. Okay? Go Navy. All right? I think that Navy would be a better choice for you at this time. And you have a lot of chances to come out, regardless of whether you go Navy or Army. What you want to ask yourself?
Those the only two choices.
I would rather my choices in selection now would be Air Force, then Navy, then Army, because it's about the skills, okay. Right? You're signing up with these assholes, yep. And they're going to make your life living shit for the next 3 years. But here's the deal. Yeah, you get to treat me like shit for 3 years, but at the end of it, I'm whatever I chose to be, i.e. So if you want to be an electrician, all right, at the end of it, be an electrician. So yeah, they kick the shit out of you for 3 years, but that beating's going to end. And at the end of it, mm-hmm. What have you got? If you're a Navy SEAL, you might wind up hung off a bridge somewhere because you couldn't find work in a campground making $12 an hour. So being a Navy SEAL is cool and everything, but it's kind of a limited career path. You know, so
right.
In the Navy, you get a lot of skills because you're working on a big boat and you travel.
Right. There's a lot of stuff. There's tech all over the place.
Tech all over the place, everywhere. I like the Air Force because I'd like to learn some shit about flying. I think it'd be pretty neat. And I happen to have a boner for gunships. I think that helicopters are the coolest things ever. And they are. They're the coolest shit ever.
They're like, pretty handy. Yeah.
If I could collect vehicles and go for a drive, you know, like in a gang, it would be in helicopters because they're that fucking cool. They're unbelievably expensive. They're, like, more expensive than the most brutal supercar to own and operate. I mean, they're insane. Okay, but anyway. I was just, you know, about that.
And so, in the military, can you go, I want to be an electrician, and there's not, like, 500 other guys going, we all want to be electricians. Well, we can't have all electricians. Some of you got to be something else.
Well, no. Well, what they do is you sign up for a trade, right? So you go in there and you say, hey, I want to be a, you know, what have you got on ship? And you look at what's open. So maybe they need a pipe fitter, or they need a welder, or, you know, maybe they need something else, right? So you go in there and you go for that. So check, you know, on the south side of it, you want to check and say, well, what are these guys making on the civilian market? So in 3 years, when I get out of there and I'm a plumber, you know, I know what's going on. So that would be the way I would approach that, you know. Basically, because your life is going to suck some serious ass in a way that you cannot comprehend right now for the next, you know, few years. All right? And you could die.
And if he's made this decision, obviously something has gone wrong. He says his backup plans fell through. So therefore, his life is, it sounds like it's not going so well.
All right.
To begin with.
If you're physically fit... And if you're not physically fit, get physically fit now. Don't listen, like, learn to run, okay? Begin to run now.
It's easier to do this beforehand than while in the military?
Yes, it is. Yes, I cannot stress to you enough your need to learn to run. I would learn to run as though your life depended on it. I'm not fucking with you at all. I am giving you God's truth right now. Learn to run. If you're going to basic, learn to run. Okay? That's what you need to know. Learn how to run. Run, if you can do 10 miles a day, and if you can do 10 miles and with a sweat, but you're at a good pace, like at a good pace, and I mean you're a runner, like you're one of these guys who, that's what you do, that's what you strive to be. But you have to train and train hard. I'd go, like, to these, like, running stores and running room and all those guys. I'd talk to them. and be like, listen, here's what's happening. I need to go on like a marathon training track for endurance training because I'm joining the army. And this is going to happen within a 1 year. And I need to get in shape in 1 year. You need to help me or I'm going to die. And they will take it seriously and they will build a plan for you and you will follow that plan as though it is religion. And you will like do that and you will thank me on the south side of that, especially if you're going into combat arms, especially if you're doing anything combat related. And do chin-ups. Do chin-ups, do overhand chin-ups. Mm. So those are, if you can crack off 50 of those, you're okay. If you can't crack off 50 of those, work on cracking off 50 of those. You'll never get to that point. But, you know, hey, it'll work on your upper body, and that's how they beat on you, right? There'll be lots of stuff right. that, you know, climbing ropes and shit like that that, you know, you can't really train for. But if you can do chin-ups, run. And push-ups are good, too. But chin-ups are much harder than push-ups. But above all,
well, you're lifting your whole body weight, so it's also a double incentive to get trim, so you don't have to lift as much body
weight. The army does not like fat people. Okay, they will hate you because you are fat. Okay, and they will beast you because you are fat, and you will suffer. Okay, and you will suffer badly. All right, so I am now warning you. Like, do not fucking do either. Like, if it's like, geez, if you're grossly obese, okay, and this is a problem, do not join the Navy. Do not do that. They're not a bunch of fat guys on boats. Those guys are really switched on, and they live on like a giant starship, and they take their shit very seriously, very, very, very seriously. So you want to you want to be in shape. So that is, you know, and their chosen method, the cheapest way to beast someone is to make them run, and that's why the army runs everybody because it doesn't cost anything, right? So they run your ass, and then they run your ass some more, and it's all endurance. And then they'll put like way too much weight on your ass, and then they'll make that run, and they'll wreck your knees and all that good stuff. So that's what they do. But hopefully at the south side of it, you've got a trade other than like a machine gunner, so you can, you know, get a job somewhere and carry on with the rest of your life and look fondly back.
Might as well make it positive.
Think about how much you hate me. But
why did Sean tell me to do this?
Yeah, totally. Totally. You fuck you, Sean. You knew. You suck. Hey, man, you know, you're asking for advice from a cartoon character on the internet. You know, I've got to give it to you straight. Okay?
That's right.
Well, swear to God. All right. Dear Rant, my current thoughts about Rant Radio. I still like it. Longtime listener since 99. I first saw Rant on CNN. It was only
I do remember that.
It was only about 30 seconds, but it was enough news that the Addy was fired, that the lady was... It was enough... Hang on, what the fuck? But it was enough that the news lady was fired. She was a temp, from what I remembered.
I remember somebody phoned into a talk show on CNN around that time. And they said, hi, I'm blah, blah from Rant Radio. And then they went on to say their spiel about the show that was on. But that I can't remember anything beyond that.
The show that was on?
The show on CNN.
Oh, I see.
They phoned into a talk show or something on CNN and announced that they were
from Rant Really? Radio. I never knew that.
Yeah.
I can't remember anything
more about that. But I remember that part of it.
Wow, the shows are different. The main reason I still listen is because they've been around forever, and they can and remain online as long as they can with different and new content. Yes, they do more than one project at a time. James and Sean, keep up the good work. So that was a very interesting email.
Very strange.
Letters of encouragement. We like that.
We like that.
So
that's good.
He's a long-time listener since 99.
Kidding.
Crazy. So, hey, glad you liked it. And yes, back in 1999, I guess we were on CNN. We were big shit once. Now we're just a couple of has-beens hanging around in Second Life. Cruise around, surfing the razor's edge, waiting for it to hit the upside of the vein. Hey, Sean and Sim! I'm a listener from New Zealand, not part of Australia, Sean. Thank you! I'm not that retarded. I can keep the continent straight, provided we don't get into Europe or Asia. I thought I'd drop you a line to say good job. You're informative most of the time and entertaining always.
That's great.
Eat a bag of dicks.
Not always informative.
I'm
always funny.
Well, you know, hey, when in doubt, I'd rather be funny. You know, there's lots of informative people out there, you know, but
That's
hey,
right.
Looks aren't everything. I'm qualified I'm a qualified and experienced draftsman and designer, but right now I'm working to obtain a mechanical engineering degree. Well, aren't you clever? Let me know if you need any complex designs, working engineering drawings. I got your back, guys. Well, are you paying attention? We need giant robots, mecha, and starship. If you can beg, borrow, steal any of that shit, you're good to go. So just keep that in mind, okay? Mecha, starships trump mecha. But, you know, mecha is good. Let's start small. Power armor.
That's true.
That's good. Sim, I love your thoughtful, rationing, and logical approach to life. There are things...
Well, thank you.
There are things I really respect in a man. Or woman. although I am yet to find one of these traits. Although I do adhere to... Although I don't adhere to the vegan lifestyle.
Get with it.
The lifestyle. Drink the fucking Kool-Aid.
It's not a lifestyle. It's not a choice, man. It's not a lifestyle.
It is a derangement. It is a mental condition which prevents you from eating tasty fucking animals. Anyway. I can't really... I'm going to go on with this letter now. I can't really dispute your rationale for veganism. Ba-da! Well, there's
That's right.
Don't.
You can't dispute it.
I'm not going to thumb wrestle you, man, over, you know, this shit. I'm just not going to do it. I guess meat just tastes too good for me to resist. Yes, you weak piece of shit. Go have some protein. Sean, to be honest, I think you're crazy paranoid. But it's actually, I should be
fair. Sometimes you gotta be.
You're crazy slash paranoid. So.
Okay.
Crazy slash paranoid is a fairly accurate, I guess.
Crazy, you know, crazy really. Or paranoid? Crazy?
No, it's crazy slash paranoid. So it's it's not like crazy, but crazy to paranoid kind of way.
Okay. You know?
Because obviously this guy doesn't believe in darker outer gods. Because he's on the path to you, of course. Like, he's already
said
that he admires.
He's walking to my side.
He's like, yeah, you know. Maybe drinking from the lab bottles is okay, you know? Maybe we're not all just beasts and animals after all. And I'm like, no, fuck the sun, long live the beast. Okay, there's Sean over here with the filth getting all Colonel Kurtz in the jungle. And it's true. But anyway, he goes on to say, but you're funny as hell, and you're the kind of guy who gets shit done. Thank you. You want results? Come talk to me. If you want to have a committee, you can, you know. I guess that's why you guys make a good team, yes? Yes, it is. Maybe
high fives all around.
Yes. Maybe our government just isn't as psycho as yours. Or maybe you're just one pessimistic SOB. Personally, I think the human race has a bright future. Well, good for you. And I think that in a small, powerful private enterprise, sure, people can be fooled and manipulated by an elite few. But I don't think any major conspiracy could be run or contained on a large scale. It's directional chaos, man. There's no one large... conspiracy. There's a bunch of assholes in different gangs all working to control shit, and they're sort of like in cahoots. But anyway, it's a lot more complicated than that. But I understand what you're saying. I don't believe in Cobra Commander. Okay, so we're on the same track. There's just so many people involved, the logistics of keeping everyone quiet become completely impractical. Greatest trick devil ever did. Anyway, I'd like to thank you fellas for your enduring contribution for the rest of us humans. Your constant reliability throughout the years is truly rare. Pat on back.
Ooh.
From Ryan. So thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Ryan. Very, very well thought out. And, you know, and because he was he's very well spoken. So when the apocalypse happens, Ryan, and, you know, you're approaching the WOG wire, and most of the other people who aren't WOGs are getting torched by, like, the snipers and stuff, but you're, like, still smart enough to make the WOG sign and everything. When you come up and say, what's your name? You'd be like, Ryan. I'll only make you say, like, I'm sorry that I called you paranoid. Can I come in now? Yeah, I'll make you do
I'll
that.
Let him in. I'll let him in.
No, you won't. I'll sit on you. You won't be able to do anything.
I'll say, just put down the steak and you can come inside.
No. Oh, okay. Sim, honest to God, okay, a post-apocalypse situation, man, I would be eating the zombies, all right? I'm here to tell you, if I could, you know, get the George Foreman grill out, make sure that it doesn't give me, like, mad cow zombie disease or whatever,
You cook them long enough, and they're okay.
Well, really. There you go. You know what? And I've got a limited food supply out here, and I can't really wander around shooting deer because there's zombies everywhere. You know, the dog's got to eat. Okay, and I may as well get a taste for zombies, because we got a lot of them. So, you know, I'd probably start raising dogs in the zombie apocalypse. That'd be a good trade.
There you go.
Walk skill set. Anyway, on to the sort yourself out. We're just got a lot of feedback here today. Dear Sean and Sam, I've been having... This is sort yourself out, so this is a conundrum. I've been having some pretty serious problems with myself and my best friend for 3 years. At the start of the year, we were best buddies. She's a female, and I'm a male. Admittedly, I liked her a bit, and I'm pretty sure she picked up on that. But I think she liked me too. However, she had a boyfriend, so I didn't say anything. And the letter... Anyway, I'm not gonna murder you with this, alright? So here's the bottom line. Bottom line, chick doesn't like him anymore, calls him a stalker. He's like, I'm not a stalker. Dude is not a stalker, but he's like, oh my god, what do I do? This chick thinks I'm a stalker. Sir, you're fucked. Okay, you're fucked.
Yes.
Losses, done. You don't talk to them anymore. You hermit. You treat it like you're a social leper. You're done. Okay? Cut and move. Don't talk to them. Don't say you're sorry. Forget your honor.
Yep.
Forget all that shit.
Gone.
You're finished. All right? So, sorry, man. You got shot out of the saddle. Roll around on the ground a little bit. Lick your wounds. Get good and drunk. Go find some chick somewhere that'll nail your head to the floor, and then, you know, you'll have a good night. All right? That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So, you know,
he should analyze what really maybe that she thought why he was a stalker, because you never know. He maybe had given off bad vibes. Maybe this is just a one-off. It's just a one-off.
It doesn't matter.
Maybe it's okay.
It doesn't matter. Like, first, I'd be angry.
Well, if this repeats over and over again, then there's something wrong, right?
Well, no, he needs to move.
Well, definitely. He needs to move on and get on with his life.
Well, no, I think he needs to actually move territory. There's behavior that happens in some areas of the world which would be considered pretty vulgar. Right? Like, you go to Italy and see how some of those guys treat women over there, Serbia and shit like that. I mean, that shit wouldn't wash, man. If I'm walking around in Serbia and I saw some guy, like raise his hand to some chick on the street, like, I don't give a fuck if it's his wife. I don't give a fuck, man. Like, it's not happening. And maybe I'll create an international incident over that because
that's
I stopped
right.
some guy from hitting a woman. But, you know, bring the noise.
That's how it's how it's done there, Sean. You've got to respect their culture.
Fuck you. No. That's what having conviction is all about. And that's what stops, you know, the relative morality crowd from taking over reality. I don't care how good of a linguistic ninjutsu guy you are, Noam Chomsky. There's just some shit that's not going to work. All right, and me, this M14, my body armor, and all the claymores I've set up around the house are going to say no, and that's how it is. And maybe I wind up dying. But sometimes, you know, you got to stand up for what you believe in. I'm just saying.
Go martyr.
I'm just saying, yeah, sometimes you got to put on the brakes, and there's a few things that I draw the lines at. Death camps, pedophiles, hitting women. I don't really, you know, unless they're attacking you, at which point they become enemy. And enemy is genderless. So, you know, and enemy is to be dispatched. But that's a different kind of, like, it's like the chivalry versus combat code. Like, what do you do with, like, well, what if there's kids with bombs, you know, and they were just, you know, like, that whole crowd.
You can't kill kids.
Yeah, you know, and of course, everyone comes to me with the whole death camps for pedophiles thing, right? Well, no, it's true, because if you follow it, okay, wait a minute, Sean wants to kill pedophiles, right? Openly admitted this. Okay, turn them off. Then, but I say I don't want death camps, right? So, so let's say I'm super efficient and I gather all the pedophiles together and I've got, say, I don't know, 5 million pedophiles globally, okay?
Yep.
I've got
And you know what? I bet there's that many because I just read a report the other day. There's like 50,000, you know, child porn sites in the U.S. and Canada.
Well, that's sort of accurate. They're mostly mirrored all over the world.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like where...
Yeah,
and the
round-robin DNS kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, so I think that it's... They dumb it down a lot for the... And plus, they got that peer-to-peer thing that just happened where they got out and they were, like, turning other people's, like, computers just sitting there in a child porn servers and shit like that.
Yeah.
So that's, you know...
So maybe exaggerated a little bit.
I checked the metrics
on
that.
We'll go with your numbers.
So let's say it's 5 million, all right? Now, how am I going to kill all these guys? Because that's quite a... I suppose I could hire IBM because they did it the last
time. You could.
I could hire IBM.
The software.
And they could, you know, help me keep track of these pedophiles. And
They've got version 2.0 for that.
So, you know, what do you do with the bodies, right? Like, I mean, even if you shoot them, that's expensive. right? So what?
Yeah.
So before you know it, I got a death camp for pedophiles. Okay.
That's right.
Which is where I get into the cognitive dissonance. So I'm like, you know. So I don't got the answer there. I don't. You know, I think that as I labored about the conundrum, I would be shooting people, though. I mean, you know, I really disagree with this. You know,
I'm out of ammo. Hand me some more.
Well, the workaround for that creates another mental conundrum, which is at that point, if I was to make sure I was all totally good, I'd have to extinguish all pedophiles and then get all Egyptian about it and then kill everyone who worked in the camps and then myself. You see what I mean? So there's no more guilt at all. You just check the whole thing out. Then you're done, right? You're like the last checkout. And the world becomes nirvana. But unfortunately, that's not the case, right? So, and then what is a pedophile? Is it a thought crime? Do you actually have to touch the child? Like, where's the line? And again, I fucking hate
pedophiles.
Those
people writing those naughty stories, you know, those stories about.
Well, I've had to come up with a line with this, because what's the difference between the pedophile who gets shot and the pedophile who you medicate the living snot out of? So I think that in my world, if you touch a child or harm a child in any way or exploit a child in any way, and this involves like that's what the intent of it is. Okay, you're done.
Yeah.
All right, you're finished. But if you are only writing stories and drawing pictures, as sick and fucking weird as you are, okay, I cannot give you. I have to let that go because that's just
you can't justify punishment.
You're making
for
markings.
That. It's a thought crime.
It's a thought crime, and you can't have thought crimes. So yeah, that means that the sniper hangs out and watches you from the rooftop as you walk to and from the grocery store every day. As you linger by the schoolyard, the day that you try to grab little Julie, there's a little splash in red mist, and then the supervisor comes and takes little Julie away, and she gets some ice cream, and it's wet cleanup aisle 5. But, you know, I just think that, that's where you have to draw the line, and that's where I've been able to do it. My problem then becomes, where do you, you know, how do you deal with this? There's the chicken out approach where you just medicate the shit out of them and throw them in a slammer and let the world kill them. But that's the same as shooting them. You just take a lot longer.
Pretty much.
You know.
Yeah.
So I think
and it costs more.
I think actually just taking them out is a lot more humane. Really. I wouldn't want to spend the rest of my life, living in some private solitary confinement in some fucking institution. You'd be nuts inside of 4 years. Like totally insane.
You wouldn't be the same person.
Oh, yeah, you'd be in...
Which might be good. You never know.
Well, yeah, but just shoot them. I mean, it's expensive. Just shoot these guys, you know, whatever. Anyway, I digress. Speaking of shooting people, in hunter-killer news, manned/unmanned teams with airborne army combat platforms have been conceptualized, strategized, and realized, though with some limitations. On today's battlefield, a manned attack helicopter can receive imagery from an unmanned aerial platform. But to heighten the value of these assets, manned-unmanned teams may go farther and do more. Apache Block 3 with level 4 unmanned aerial vehicles. Okay, what we're talking about here, before we get into military speech, because then they start into the acronyms and UAVs and LTCs and all that shit.
I love the Block 3 level 4. It's like, oh my god.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're totally the Block 3 level 4 with the option! You know, they're totally into this. But to be fair, Apaches are super cool. And if I own an Apache, I'd be saying it's an Apache Block 3, you know, Mark 4. Anyway... The point is that they're using UAVs. They've got these robot. They've made robot helicopters that fly in formation with regular helicopters. So you have the Apache takeoff, and four drones go with it, and you've got like flying hunter-killer drones that work in tandem with the live pilot. How fucking badass is that?
Nice.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that's sexy. So yeah, let's talk about crowd control. That's some sexy. Combat flying robots right there, man.
They're helper robots.
They totally are. They're angry little wasp robots. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that you're going to see on Border Patrol right there.
Attack them, my robots.
Well, not only that, but if you've got a guy shows up with a rocket launcher and fires at you, those robots will pick that up and can get in the way. You see what I mean? And save the pilot's life.
Like, they'll watch after you fire and go, is there still something moving in the 10-meter radius of where that missile just fired?
Yeah, exactly. And they, well, they, that's that tech is already exists. It's auto-targeting. Yeah, they just hammer it, right? Like, honestly, you know, anyone out there, if you ever are under a situation where you're engaging any kind of modern helicopter or tank, do not do this. You will get low, get underground, and seek hard cover. Do not engage. Like, just don't do it. You're going to die. You will die. You don't have the chutzpah. Okay, you're the idiot who keeps shooting the gun at Dracula. You know, there's always that guy in the Dracula movie who's like, bang!
Just won't die.
And Dracula's slowly walking towards him, and he's like, bang, 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 bang! And it's like, you know, dude, you snapped him in the face with 5.45s, okay? But he's not even, he hasn't even blinked. He's still staring at you, okay? The shit is not working. Plan B, kill it with fire, okay? Like, seriously, at that point, you go for the 2-liter little German bottle, and, whatever the hell that thing was called. It's got a crazy, crazy name. It's like the Umdischwaschen Uber Burnenswehr or whatever the hell it is. Some crazy long name, but a pretty sweet piece of monster killing kit. Anyway, in the space news, this is pretty neat. Routers in space. A radiation proof Cisco router was sent into space today. Whew. Aboard an IntelSat satellite with the goal to set up military communications from space. Comms in space, motherfucker. The router satellite combo is a key part of the U.S. Defense Department's internet routing system, which is pretty good. So we've got some blah, 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 blah. Goes on talking about all the details about getting this router up there. Very, very cool.
I hope they have the latest patches.
Yeah. Well, surprisingly, a lot of the stuff that's flying around up there is, it's old tech. You know what I mean? It's like 46s and stuff. Because, I mean, you don't want stuff that's going to burn out.
It's hardened. You know they've tested it thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly. They know it works.
Yeah. And you got to shield the snot out of it, right? Because all the solar radiation that's going on up there. I mean, any electronic components are going to get murdered.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, so it's pretty serious. So, interesting. Interesting. It'd be neat to see what's going on with that. And of course, in the early stages, not going to be a lot of security on that router. You know what I mean? Like, they can't really patch it too well. So it'd be interesting to, if you're tracking satellites and stuff, you might want to know where exactly it is, you know. You might want to, you know, do a little hacking on that. But I wouldn't want to get caught trying to hack a military comms router.
No,
that would be
an
orbiting
move.
Military comms router. That would be a bad idea. Now, remember last week there was the cyber brain thing, the cat's brain? Dude built brain the size of a cat, and it's like he's now got genetically engineered two-headed cats. Anyway, there's an update on this. Last year, Pentagon's premier research arm gave IBM nearly $5 million to make an electronics that mimic the function, size, and power consumption of a cat's brain. Here's $5 million, give me a cat's brain. Last week, IBM's lead researcher of the project, Dharmendra Mota, announced that he had made major projects towards that goal, simulating on a supercomputer the number of neurons and synapses inside a feline mind. Now, leading neuroscientist is blasting the whole project as a scam and a hoax. You don't have a cat brain! You're a fucking liar!
This is nothing like a cat brain.
You lying sack of shit, is what he said. Mota told
a supercomputer... Give my $5 million back.
That's right. Mota told a supercomputer conference that his cortical stimulator had generated the digital equivalent of 1 billion neurons connected by 10 trillion individual synapses. It was, apparently, the first baby step towards the Pentagon Mad Science Division DARPA's goal of recreating a brain that's as compact, as efficient, as power smart as the one inside a house pet. Some colleagues went too far as to compare it to the Large Hadron Collider. But neuroscientist Henry Markham is considerably less impressed. What IBM reported is a scam. This is what he said, quote, nowhere near a cat brain simulation. He writes in an open letter to Bernard Meyerson, IBM's chief technology officer, I am absolutely shocked at this announcement. Not because of any kind of technological feat, because of the mass deception of the public. Markham isn't exactly a disinterested observer, as the IEEE Spectrum Sally Adi notes. He's got his own Ertzmind project called Blue Brain that is also affiliated with IBM. So maybe it's not surprising that Markham claims Mota has simply put together a PR stunt to ride on the Blue Brain. So he's like, you're stealing my info. Your brain is stupid. My brain will be so much better than yours. Which I think is great. I'm all about mad scientists fighting about the brains.
The brain wars.
You know, that just gives a whole... Go ahead.
I found the name of the German flamethrower for you.
Mm.
Einstoss-Flammenwerfer.
The what?
Einstoss-Flammenwerfer 46.
Okay, somebody in Germany needs to send me a sound file of how the fuck to actually say that so I can get it, you know, properly. Einstoffen-Flammenwerfer. It's Einstein's Flammenwerfer. That's what I'd call it. I'd be like, give me Einstein.
That's the portable one that goes on your back.
Yeah. It's like really, really small. And it was disposable. It's a crazy piece of tech. Those Germans, man, they had some good kit.
Yeah.
They created the helmet that's still in use today. You look at the helmets. Yeah, that helmet design, German. Yeah, Nazis did it. Yeah, you know. They were really good bad guys. They were just bags of shit, but their soldiers, bad motherfuckers, man. They were. We're never going to have bad guys like that again. I mean, these Taliban guys, they're easily as crazy as the Nazis were. Oh, yeah, for sure. Bad shit nuts.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, the Nazis, man, Hugo Boss uniforms? I mean, you felt like you killed a supervillain when you shot one of those motherfuckers.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
They're doing experiments on children and shit and filming it, dude? You've got no moral high ground there.
Easy.
Oh, man, Inglourious Bastards. Okay, like, woohoo! Oh, yeah. Party time. I can kill all the Nazis I want. Nice.
Not feel bad.
I don't have to feel bad, you know? It's like beating up collections, guys. In crime family, or ripping off casinos. Another thing that just makes me giggle myself to sleep.
That's right. In
crime family news. Now, here's a scary piece of information. Okay, you want to talk about, like, slippery slopes? And this one will be interesting to you, Sam. In Denver, okay, in the United States, the idea of using DNA technology to solve crimes is not new. But for the first time, the Denver police have successfully used DNA of one criminal to connect it to another crime. It's called familial DNA. The investigators are using the DNA of a family member to link suspects to a crime. The conviction in Denver is the first in the county using this technique. So this has already been done. Okay, so the precedent's been set. 74-year-old Stanley Howe is a big fan of the technology. Howe vividly recalls the morning when he walked out to his car and realized it had been broken into. Buddy breaks into his car. There was glass on the floor and on the back seat and on the front seat, Howe said. And there was something else the thief left
glass
behind.
Everywhere.
I saw a blood stain on the front seat. Howe's car, who are you? Anyway, the car was one of the many at his Denver apartment complex broken into the morning of February 20th. 2008. In Howell's case, the thief only made off with some spare change and a pair of gloves. Ha ha! They've got no concept of how people feel, so I will destroy his life! Denver police collected the blood sample on Howell's seat and ran it through their DNA database. It didn't get a match. At most police departments, the DNA search would stop there, but the DPD also ran the blood sample through the new familial DNA database. It helps us narrow down who committed the crime, DPD spokesman Sony Jackson said. We were able to determine that the individual in our database did have a brother. So they found that his brother's DNA was similar to his own because it was similar DNA.
Mm.
You see, the police focused on a 21-year-old Louis James Chinero. His brother was in the system because of a felony conviction for auto theft. So, hey, I wonder if this guy lives with his brother. They go to his brother's house. There he is! Detectives got a court order to take a DNA sample from James Tirano. It matched the blood sample from Howe's car. James Tirano recently pleaded guilty in the case. The conviction is the first in the country using familial DNA. Holy crap! Holy fucking crap. Now, that is a scary-ass story right there. You know, nobody got clearance for that. You know...
I consulted a DNA expert on this story, actually, recently, and they informed me that this is actually an illegal thing to do in Canada, so this does not happen in Canada.
Really?
Yes, it's a huge invasion of privacy.
Yeah, I'm just like, holy shit.
Using your family members as DNA donators to find a criminal is just doesn't fly in terms of privacy.
That's not a free and democratic society. What would George Washington do, you know? That's the really sad part, you know, is that I, unfortunately, I'm starting to think that I'm kind of like a big, scary redneck in some ways. You know, it's
nobody's
like,
getting my DNA.
Well, no, seriously, it's just like some but, of the stuff that some of those crazy constitution guys, they got it going on.
Anyway. Well, the UK is doing something to combat this. They're just taking DNA of everyone.
Yeah,
they don't even need to use familial DNA.
It's true. It's true. So it's kind of like, well, and I personally have a bit of a problem with the whole process. So, also, I got another update here. Thought crime update. Thanks to Nuruk for this one. Hi, Sean. Follow up on the story about the guy getting burned for his perverted stories in Canada. Thought crime thing, right? Recently, the Philippines passed a new law giving life imprisonment to people producing or being in possession of any representation, whether visual, audio, or written by electronic, mechanical, digital, optical, magnetic, or any other means of a child engaged or involved in a real or simulated explicit sexual activity. You get on Second Life, you log in from the Philippines, okay? You log into the Philippines for Second Life, go to one of these pedophile sites there, you're going to jail for life.
Forever.
Okay?
Ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, that seems a bit much, and I'm the guy who wants to shoot these guys.
A little overboard.
I'm like, whoa, what? This also includes the art and drawings shown by this earlier draft in the same law. It is interesting stuff, hard to tackle, everyone wants to fight child pornography, but even here in Norway, where this is from, it's being used as a stick to force us into accepting the EU data storage directives. There is no way to get these people without eroding free speech and privacy. From the article, the European Union is pleased with President Arrows signing the Anti-Child Pornography Act of 2009. So, who wouldn't want to sign the Anti-Child Pornography Act of 2009 that seeks to shield?
If you don't sign it,
well, obviously
you're the bad guy who stood
against the Anti-Child Pornography. What's wrong with you? That seeks to shield every child from all forms of exploitation and abuse. Well, actually, no. It doesn't. At all.
No.
It really doesn't. This stops us from keeping records of it. This stops the records of it. This doesn't have shit to do with child porn. This stops the records of child porn. That's what this does. Like, you want to stop child porn? Okay. Well, we got a lot of Navy SEALs that aren't doing stuff right now. And they've got some ideas on how to do that shit, okay? So you should talk to them. No, really. And they'll get it done. They're good like that.
Yeah.
And it's just dirty bag team. But, that's it. But this anti-child porn shit, that's got nothing. You're not stopping child porn with that. Let's be clear here. None of this is stopping the child porn. The same children are being hurt. We just don't have any pictures of it.
Yeah, the pictures are gone.
Yeah.
It's still happening.
So,
Now you have no leads. You're getting rid of your evidence. Your trail of evidence is being shut down.
Yeah, so, the pitchers, they're getting burned. Yeah, absolutely, the pitchers getting burned. It's not the point, though. I'm going to use the pitchers to start the fire so I can burn the pedophile who made them. That's what we use the pitchers for. All right, that's so you gotta be able to get a hold of these bastards. But anyway, the part of the council who signed on to this thing was the Department of Justice, Department of Labor and Employment, Department of Science and Tech, Commission of Human Rights, National Telecommunications Commission signed on with these guys, Optical Media Board, the National Bureau of Investigation, the Council for Welfare of Children, Philippine Center for Transnational Crimes. That's a pretty scary sounding outfit. The Commission on Information and Communication Technology. That's who I'd have as my thugs. I think I'd have a bunch of Filipino gentlemen come, because they're fucking badass.
They seem to hate it a lot.
No, they're pretty tough. You ever fight a Filipino guy? They are tough. I mean, you really got to shoot those people to stop them. They're tough, 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 tough people. Yeah, no, really. Huge respect here. In body banks, speaking of bodies, in body bank news, now how about this one? This one was sent to me by New Thrall. A gang of killers who murder to steal their victim's body fat have been arrested in Peru.
Oh, jeez.
Police say the three people held in the Jungle province of Huanco confessed to 5 killings so they could sell 1 liter of fat for 10,000 pounds to the cosmetic industry.
Oh, that's a good price.
So, wait a minute. The cosmetic industry is buying human fat? Who's giving you 10 grand for that? Like, who's funding this? The men said the fat was sold to intermediaries in Lima, who police suspect sold it to companies in Europe. Police have found that the head of one victim and several bottles of fat, which they displayed at a news conference. Suspect Elmer Segro Castillo, led police to the head last month. He also gave gruesome details of how they cut their victims' heads, arms, and legs and removed the organs. They then suspended the torso from hooks and warmed the flesh so the dripping the fat into the jars below. It is oh my God! That's fucking hardcore! It is believed
his name was Robert Paulson.
And his name was Robert Paulson. Holy crap. It is believed six members of the gang are still at large. Including the leader, Hilario. I'm not making that up. Hilario Cadino, who's 56, who dresses like a clown with a fright wig and a meat hook and a flamethrower, who Castillo's said had been killing people to extract human fat for more than 30 years.
Whoa!
There's a horror movie to be made out of this one. Medical authorities said last night, human fat is used in anti-wrinkle treatments, but is always extracted from the patient, usually from the stomach or the buttocks. There would be risk of reaction that could heal to life-threatening consequences from fat for someone else who's used, said dermatology professor Dr. Neil Sadek. But when you get into the super rich world, okay, the kind of guys who spend $50,000 on a bracelet and a key. I saw that once. I'll never forget it. There was a...
Wow.
It was a piece of jewelry that was like, I don't know, it was really elegant, all right? But what it was a collar.
It better be.
Yeah, it was a collar, and it was a disgusting amount of money, like $50,000, $60,000. But the other part of it was a key, okay, that unlocked the bracelet. So you would put this golden, gilded, diamond bracelet on your, you know, trophy to show that this particular Jaguar is yours, and you would hold the key. And I'm like, wow, the psychology behind that is pretty great. You know, I don't know if I really agree with that, but yeah. But that's what you get into with the really super rich crowd. They get into some crazy shit.
Attaching ownership via worth of the gold that is encrusted upon them.
Or whatever. I don't know where they're going with that, but I'm sure that there's people out there who will spend the money to have eye wash with the fat of, like, humans. You know, like, I can see
that. So this is, like, real-life Fight Club.
Shit happened. Real-life Fight Club. Well, that's a little bit more than Fight Club. That's like somewhere after Fight Club, slightly before After Now.
yes.
At the house of 1,000 corpses. Like, that is just off the hook. Which leads us to our cyberpunk kit. Which is some rail guns. Thank you very much, Icehawk. Known primarily for manufacturing the Predator drone, General Atomics has also moved into the weapons business, as demonstrated by the first ever successful test of their Blitzer railgun. Yeah, baby.
Wow.
This involved the cannon firing a number of rounds down the range at the U.S. Army's Dugaway Proving Grounds. Railguns were first proposed over a century ago, have not made their appearance on the battlefield. They're simply regular artillery pieces that fire a giant shell, but different in that they do so without the use of combustion. Instead, railguns mount the projectile using two magnetized rails, hence the name, which propel the shell out of the muzzle using electrical conductivity. The difference is the so-called Gauss cannon, which is different from the so-called Gauss cannon, which uses magnetic projectiles and magnetic fields to accomplish the same task. So it's a little bit different. But anyway, the General Atomics conducted the test in association with the Office of Naval Research, and plans are continuing testing throughout the year. They finally start launching tactically relevant aerodynamic rounds. So they're, which sounds pretty badass. Tactically relevant.
Yeah.
I want a tactically relevant aerodynamic round. You know, I want a tactically relevant. What the fuck does that mean?
That
aerodynamic
mean
rounds,
anything.
Okay, but tactically relevant. So, like, it's useful.
It better be relevant.
You know, like, I like that. Tactically. WOGs are tactically relevant. You know, that's
great. It's great wording.
God,
it means
I love
nothing, but it's so good.
Fuck, the American Army really has got the language down. You know, right even down to the code names. They got the best code names ever. from the people who brought you G.I. Joe, you know? Anyway, telepresence robots, another great piece of cyberpunk kit. Be at two places at once with a commercially available QA. It's a telepresence robot from AnyBots. It's basically, it's quite something. They use the Segway as a universal robotic platform, and they built this thing, which is pretty wild. It does video. It's essentially a Segway with a video camera on it, and but put together really, really well, that is commercially available and you can purchase and have that running around your office and stuff. Like, how rad would that be? To have, I mean, there's, that's a serious piece of jewelry to have around your office. Anyway, and this is an interesting piece of medical kit as your cyberpunk kit is Meditats, my title. Scientists are developing a smart tattoo that could tell diabetics when their glucose levels are dangerously low. a black patch appears on it. Yeah. Once it's perfected, the tattoo will allow glucose levels to be monitored around the clock and could allow an alarm system that would warn the diabetic if their glucose levels would fall dangerously. It would mean that the diabetics would no longer have to subject themselves to the finger prick devices that currently they must use every day. The tattoo has been designed by Jared Cote of the Texas A&M University and Michael Fisco of the Chemical Engineering Department at Penn State. It is made of a polyethylene glycol beads that are coated with the fluorescent molecules. Because these because glucose displaces the fluorescent molecules, the level of fluorescence is high when the body's glucose levels are low. So this thing will glow if you're low. Fluorescent levels could be measured using the device, such as a watch, but also could give a readout as to their glucose level. So it's like, wah, wah, wah. So that's pretty, I mean, that's pretty neat, you know? And if you could do it with that, that's kind of cool. Kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that's pretty slick.
Better than sticking yourself three times a day.
It's gotta suck. Got a friend who's a diabetic. It's a crappy thing to do. It's a crappy thing to do. And let's talk about today's daily hack, which, as you may know, the good people at Microsoft fucked over everybody who bought their Xbox and did things with it. They went and they got over a million consoles banned. Turned them off. Sorry. You opened your box and you did bad things with the technology that we don't like, so we're cyber warring you. And they got some black ice, which is exactly what this is. This is right down. This is some black ice. They put out black ice, which I think is pretty aggressive.
They reminded you that
you're not in charge here.
They own the machine.
Yeah, they own the fucking machine. So in order to counteract that, we've got the Unbork the Xbox 360, which was put into Hackaday. Hackaday tipped us off about a method to fix a borked hard drive on your Xbox 360. Many of the 1 million consoles banned earlier in the month also had hard disks scrambled, making offline gaming impossible as well. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah, now that is a weapon. That's black ice right there. It turns out that this
tricks.
Yeah, I'm just like, fuck you. It turns out that this is caused by having a ban flag and the NAND chip on the motherboard. So if you have the NAND chip on the motherboard and a ban flag, you're fucked. It has been discovered that because of wear leveling, that NAND will have two copies of the SecData file, blah, 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 blah. So it goes into the details of how to unbork your Xbox 360. So if you happen to be jumping up and down, yeah, I know. That's why it's today's daily hack here on Newsreel. And as well,
fight the system.
You betcha. And if you're going to be, since another crazy paranoid guy you might want to listen to is Dmitry Orlov, who does this great thing in Recmedia today, sent in by Sporadic E, called The Social Collapse Best Practices. So it's very funny, and it's this Russian guy who lived through the collapse of the Soviet Union, and he talks about it. And it's quite entertaining and very funny to check out. But if you want to, it's an interesting thing to watch, because it's not often you get to hear from someone who watched their country fall apart and see what that was about and how to recognize that kind of thing. Very, very interesting stuff. Very, very interesting stuff. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to the show, please distribute the show. Please give the show away. Even if you just talk about it. I mean, having some on hand, you know, a couple CDs around is always a good idea. But, you know, talk about it. Let people know about it. Twitter about it, I guess. I don't like encouraging people to do that because it sounds a lot like spam. But anyway. But if you can, please donate. And if you want to do that, you can do so by going to the Donate tab anywhere on any of the Rant Media websites. Or you can send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 370 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada. Victor 5 Tango 1 Whiskey 0. I was going to say Oscar. But anyway, digital baptisms this week. We got two of them. Dom Dorbin is now known as the Illuminaut. Like astronaut, only it's Illuminaut. So one who explores light. And Owl Shadow is now Unmutual. You are now officially Unmutual, Owl Shadow. I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. And if you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And don't forget to sign up for the Rant Media newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. Now, there's also the Pirate Party show, which is very different from this show because it's hosted by my co-host, Samarian.
That's
and,
right.
And where do we go to? Where do we go to get that? Where do we go to get that? If you want
PiratePartyRadio.com.
PiratePartyRadio.com. Go check that shit out.
Yep, we're up to episode 5, so there's 5 hours to listen to right now.
And I'll be listening
to
it. You should too. I'll pimp your stuff. I don't care. I'll sell out.
Yeah,
you know, put you up. did you have anything else, Sim? Other than that, the good Pirate Party stuff?
No.
Good to go.
No, it's all good.
Well, we're gonna, of course, if you like music in the background, check out some Psytrance. Always good. But I'm gonna fade out now with a track from Leibach, which got sent in to me, and I hadn't heard Leibach in forever, like 10 fucking years. So I was like, wow, if it's the same Leibach I was thinking of. I don't know what this is German for, but it's a really cool song. It's called Die Spiel ist aus. So it's, I don't speak German, but, you know, German sounds cool. I could be reading cookies. I hope it's not white supremacist stuff, because I'll feel like a dipshit if it is. But whatever, it sounds cool.
The game is on.
Yeah. The game is on.
That's what it means.
The game is on.
Or the game is up, somebody else will
say. Oh, the game is up. Oh, nice. Okay, well, that's good. That's positive. How to serve man. You know, always always positive. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy either if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what server said. End of line.